Blog Talk Radio.
It's due time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're all with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? We started off last week shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew, and we had our conversation, how do you know when you're emotionally available in a relationship, that is? Well, they say you got to take a hard look at the beliefs you have about yourself in your relationship. Now, how in the world you're going to know that you're emotionally available if you don't look at yourself first? Oh, we got to take the time, slow down, and look at yourself within the relationship. What about make your partner's needs and feelings equal to yours? We have to treat one another the way we want to be treated. Yes, you can't dismiss someone else's feelings and really consider yourself to be emotionally available. What about stop the secret life? Okay. No secrets. That's how we're going to figure out whether we're ready to be in a relationship, if you're emotionally available. Okay. All right. Well, we really could not finish off a Monday morning properly if we did not get our switch tip with Shanti's. And last week's switch tip was be a person of your word. Yes. Come on. Be a person of your word. Yes. How are we going to know if we're emotionally available if we're not a person of the word, of your word? You know, God says, let your yeas be yeas and let your nays be nays. You know, we have to really be someone who, you know, people can rely on, knowing that we are truthful, we're trustworthy, and we're making sure that we say what we mean and we mean what we say. Yes. Come on, there's no other way we can get this done. Isn't God a man of his word? Absolutely. Well, how in the world is God going to gauge whether we are godly? Because the word says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Yes. So we got to make sure that we do what we say we're going to be. You know, what we're going to do. Other than that, we're really not you know, going to be a, you know, a person that God can trust or who we can trust, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we always want people to tell us the truth, don't we? Yes. Well, the only way we're going to know how, you know, we are being Christ-like is if we do what we say we're going to do. You know, that's always something that has been big for me. Always something that's been big for me. You know, how in the world, the lion. You know, some people just say what they need to say just to get over. And, ain't no way in the world God is going to be able to use us if we are not doing the things that we need to do. Okay? All righty. Well, we then ended up rolling in to our Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yes. And we got our conversation going. And, you know, it's a good thing that, you know, we do say the things that we're meaning and we're meaning what we say. And we have to make sure that we are always doing the things that God wants us to do. Okay? All righty. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around. And we got our girl Vivian with the socially conscious segment. And those COVID numbers, a little questionable in a couple of states. Yeah, for the most part, we saw our numbers come down. But, you know, we have to make sure that we do what we need to do. Stay masked up, people. Stay masked up. I don't even want to know what this week's numbers are going to be like. No, because I'm telling you, we are not going to be doing too well because we had those spring break numbers rolling on in. Yep. So you got to make sure, you know, we don't have like Kentucky, those numbers going up. Yes. All right. So we had our ladies in the house last week. And we got all of the ladies in the house last week, but we didn't have our Elder Nitisha in the house. And we have to make sure that we're always doing the things that we say we're going to do. All right? Well, Thursday rolled around, and ooh, the stories on Thursday. What happened on Thursday? Oh, I tell you, we had those relationship. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, I'm sorry. It's right on the tip of my tongue. We had our rip from the headlines. That's what I want to say. We had our rip from the headlines. And, oh, we had the story of our husband who gave away all of our baby's clothing. And we all know that that's not a move that we need to do. Oh, I tell you, they said, you got to watch out, not for the baby's clothes, but you got to watch out for that relationship. Okay? What about evicting the sisters because they hid the wig? Oh, my goodness gracious, the family that got thrown out because they were hiding the wig. Oh my goodness! And what about mom who came over at the last minute, and now she wants to take over and lock up the bedroom and keep mom and dad on the outside of the room. I don't know. Well, Freestyle Friday rolled around, and the men really, really did a fantastic job, you know. We talked about, you know, questioning, you know, God and why. Why things happen and, you know, what's going on with God and if God is a man of his word, you know, trying to figure out, you know, Pastor Kale said his goddaughter got shot, and the woman who had the acid thrown in her face, you know, her family's asking questions. Where is God? Where is God? That's always a question we get to ask, and things just don't seem to be making sense. Okay? So we want to make sure that, you know, we keep our mind on the Lord. And we always know that God he's there. He's there, you know. I remember there was a question that was thrown back. Where was God? His son was on the cross. You know, we try to figure out what's going on and why things happen the way they happen. God is not unmindful of all the things that are going on in our life. We just got to make sure that we stay faithful because God is faithful. Okay? Well, we had our Sunday roll around, and last night we talked about patience. Yes, that was our prayer. That was our prayer last night, you know, just being patient and trusting God for being there when we need him, not rushing him, and just being in tune to God's timing. And always tell you, it's those prayer requests that get me going. And when we really, people, you know, pray about the things of God and what they need to be patient for, you know, it just really behooves us to just sit still. Not sit still and do nothing, but sit still and trust God. Okay? All right. Well, today, we are shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Yes, yes, yes. We are here together, and we're getting this week started. And we have a time crew in our relationship conversation. And let's take the time to get that healthy breakfast. Let's let somebody know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure we go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Hill Harper. On CSI New York, you see me solve murders with science. This time I need your help catching a killer before it strikes again. I'm talking about colorectal cancer, often referred to as colon cancer, which takes nearly 50,000 lives every year. And each year, more than 145,000 people are diagnosed with colon cancer. It is the third leading cancer killer among men and women. But this is one form of cancer that is largely preventable with regular screening and is treatable with early detection. African Americans are particularly at risk and should ask their doctor about getting screened starting at age 45. Let's catch this killer together. Colon cancer is preventable, treatable, and beatable. For more information, go to screenforcoloncancer.org.
This message brought to you by the American Society for Gastrointestinal Endoscopy and Fujinon Endoscopy, a division of Fujifilm. Colon cancer, preventable, treatable, beatable.
Thank you.
Good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome back to A Zoo Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Yes, already we're back to another week. Can you imagine? Last week went by so quickly. And God has been so good to us to wake us up this morning and get us started on our way. And, you know, let us be able to shake this Monday morning blues together. Okay? All right. So, I got some information for you this morning. All righty. Well, there's a question that says, do we actually need to refrigerate butter? Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but I was always brought up to have the butter in the refrigerator. And I can't even imagine keeping it out. You know, not only, you know, the fact that it's in the summertime and it might melt, but I was always taught, you know, you just don't leave something like that out. Well, there's a question that says, does it really need to be refrigerated? Well, yes. Okay, no. You can leave the butter out. Yes, you can. Yep. The FDA says that as long as the room temperature is where it doesn't, like, melt all over the place, you actually can, okay? And they're saying the exact amount of time butter and margarine can be left out without, you know, becoming bad is debatable. But make sure you leave it in a covered dish and use it within a few days. Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah. You know, everything that they say that you can do, are we willing to do? I don't know. Well, get your pens out because there's a list that I want to give you of foods that we can keep for up to a year, at least a year, in our cabinet. Yeah. Come on. Some of these things you may know, and other things you just might be a little surprised. Okay? All right, ready? Applesauce. Yep. Applesauce, bouillon, yes, you know, like that, the chicken bouillon, yeah, you can leave that out. Beans, dry beans, okay, they say they will last longer than a year, but you might, you know, need to increase the cooking time since beans get hotter as they age. Okay, all righty. Brown rice, yeah, brown rice we can keep for a year. Cake mix, wow, let me tell you something, you better watch that expiration date on the cake mix. Yeah, you want to make sure that you can keep that, okay. Chia seeds, yes, you should have chia seeds in your cabinet, because you know they say chia seeds. Remember, we kept saying chia seeds when we were talking about the fiber. Yep. So make sure those chia seeds you got in your cabinet. Period. Cocoa. Yeah, cocoa. You can keep in your cabinet for a year. Instant coffee. Well, instant coffee. What else? Condiments, salt, pepper, seasoning, salt, garlic powder, onion powder, yes. Okay. flour. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Make sure you watch flour for those dates, because flour will get bugs in them. Yeah. And they say once you open your flour, you need to refrigerate or freeze it for longer shelf life. Yes, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. Okay? Dried fruit. Yeah, you know those bananas, the bananas and the apricots and things like that. Yes. Okay? They say high acid canned goods such as juices, fruit, pickles, tomato soup. Yeah. And they say vinegar-based sauces can last up to 18 months. Yeah. So you might have a little bit more than that year on some of those items. Okay. Jams and jellies. Yes. Jams and jellies. Jerky, like beef jerky. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lentils. Those are those, you know, the little beans. Mm-hmm. Evaporated milk. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have bought some evaporated milk, and it's had 2 years. Yeah. The expiration date has been like 2 years on that. Dried mushrooms. Okay. Nuts. Yes, they say canned nuts can definitely last a year. Oats. Okay. Make sure that oatmeal, get that oatmeal. And we're not talking about that oatmeal in the little packet of oatmeal. I don't know how long that's going to last, because, you know, that's got like sugar and stuff in it. So that might cut that shelf life. Olive oil, unopened. Okay. They say once you open it, though, you need to keep it for 6 months. Okay. Spices. Yeah, certain spices. And spaghetti sauce. Spaghetti sauce can last up to a year. All right. Well, we got some foods that can last up to 2 years or even more. Okay. Gravy. They say dry gravy, you know, in the packet, or canned gravy. Okay. Honey. Honey can last 2 years or more. Okay. Let's see. They say canned items, low acid canned items, such as, you know, the canned beef, corned beef. They say certain soups and beans, carrots, corn. Yes, stuff like that. That can last up to 2 years. Molasses. Mm-hmm. Ooh, who uses molasses? Oh, my goodness gracious. That's so old school. All right. Let's non-stick cooking spray. Yes, that's a gold mine in my house. I don't even think that lasts like 2 weeks good, especially if we popping popcorn. Dry pasta. Okay. Dry pasta. Peanut butter, unopened. Unopened peanut butter can last up to 2 years. Powdered drink mixes. Okay. Quinoa. Quinoa. Okay. White rice. White rice and wild rice. Okay. That can last up to 2 years. Now remember, brown rice can only last up to a year. That's not on this list. So be careful you don't mix up and just say rice. Make sure you make the distinction. Okay? Because I did. All right? Sugar. Now, they say sugar will not spoil at all, but for best quality, use within 2 years of opening. Okay? Sugar and sugar substitutes. Tea bags. Yes, tea bags have a long shelf life. Okay? Vegetable juice and vegetable oil. Vegetable oil is 1 year open. Okay? And vinegar. Vinegar. Okay? All righty. Now, one last little piece of this list that I want to give you. And these are the foods you shouldn't consume after expiration. All right? Make sure you write this down because, man, in my house, this is always a huge debate. Okay? And we're going to I'm going to try to remember to get to this conversation during this week. The foods that you shouldn't consume after expiration, and baby food is on that list. Baby food and baby formula. Once that expiration date comes, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You cannot use it after the expiration date. Baking powder and baking soda. Okay, make sure you write this down, because this is really important. Okay? And yeast. Okay? They say those are the three things that you should not use once the expiration date arrives. Okay? Now, they also say if a can is damaged, or the product is kind of off, the odor is off, or, you know, something like that, get rid of it. Get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. Especially, you know, dented cans. You know, sometimes you'll buy those dented cans in the store. You know, don't pick those cans up. You know, I don't know what they do with the pineapples in Walmart, but every time I go to get cans of pineapples in Walmart, I don't know if the whole case gets dropped, but I have to move the entire case out of the way because clearly someone's dropped it. I mean, the cans are dented like crazy. Do not buy those. They say and if you drop it in your house and it gets dented, you better use it right then. Yeah, that better be tonight's dinner. Okay, they say it, you know, really your food really runs a risk of getting messed up and damaged. Okay, if that can is dented, so you want to make sure that you do, you know, hold on to stuff like that. Really. Now, if Pastor Steph is telling you to get rid of it, then get rid of it, because I don't throw away anything. Okay? All right. Well, what are we talking about in our news? Well, remember last week, I think it was Friday, we talked about a young lady who, in Florida, who I think she's 18. Yes, yes. Kiara Morant, 18 years old, who had been driving a car. Remember, she didn't have a license. Yeah, and she hit the two little girls, 1-4, 1-5 years old. Yes, and they say that she actually was released on $120 bond. Now, I don't know what kind of lenient judge she went in front of, but remember, she knocked down all of these different poles and all of these kind of things before she ended up hitting the two little girls, the 1-4 and 1-5, and one was killed. Well, initially, she was released on $120 bond, but guess what? Shortly thereafter, when they found out that the little girl was killed, yes, when she died, they upgraded the charges to felony, and a felony with driving without a license, resulting in serious injury or death. And homegirl is now being held without anything. No, they're not letting her go. They are now really holding her accountable, okay, for her behavior. And they should. What kind of mess is it that you're going to go at $120? $120 or what? You knew good and well you had no business behind the wheel of a car. And you mowed down two little girls playing in the playground. And what judge looked at you and said, oh, okay, well, I feel sorry for you, and I'm going to let you go. No, I'm going to set your bond at $120. You know what? That judge needs to go to jail. Yes. Why is it that afterwards she's now being held responsible for lives only after the little girl dies? No, I'm sorry. You really need to be held accountable. Yes, you really need to be held accountable. And I'm glad that they have now turned it around and she is now being held. Okay, because really, they really need to set these young people straight from now. I don't care nothing about her being young. That was really irresponsible. And like I said, I don't care what world you live in. You know, at the age of 18, you're not supposed to be driving without a license. So you know what? You did the crime, now you do the time. So now she's being held without anything. She's going to have to sit there and deal with the consequences. Well, good for her. Good for her, good for her, good for her. Well, last week we also talked about the young lady who, innocently, 22 years old, who got the acid thrown in her face, and a year later, she's still getting all of these surgeries, and she's going to school, you know, and she's trying to move her life along, and unfortunately, you know, they don't know. They still don't know who did it. The FBI has been on the case as well, and they still don't know what, you know, who's responsible. Well, there's a story of a man who accidentally sprayed barbecue lighter fluid. Yes. On his wife, and what a serious situation. So you have a woman who's 48 years old who just got finished with $2.7 million of reconstructive treatment, and she's only halfway through the healing process. So here's what happened. They say back in December of 2018, she and her husband were in their garden, and they were preparing dinner. And she went inside to get the meat, and when she came out, somehow or another, the story is she leaned over to put the food down, and her husband was spraying the lighter fluid, and her arm, face, and hair caught on fire. and she was taken to the hospital immediately. And oh my gosh, she was burned so badly that they immediately had to put her in a medically induced coma. Immediately, they had to put her in a medically induced coma for 2 months. And she spent those the next 6 months in the hospital, getting surgery after surgery after surgery. And her husband could not forgive himself and was sitting by her side this entire time, keeping a diary because he couldn't talk to her. He couldn't talk to her. And they say that $2.2 million was spent on her surgeries, and then they would not spend any more money. Can you imagine? $2.2 million and you are nowhere near finished with your surgeries. But the staff applied for her to get some state assistance, and she qualified, needless to say. Well, thank you, God, for the extra funding. She qualified for the extra funding, and she continued. She got $2.7 million. And she's still only halfway through. Okay. And she told the story herself. When she came out of the coma, she said she told the story that, you know, she was, they were outside in the, you know, with the fire pit, and, you know, he was making dinner, you know, getting that fire together on the grill, and she had the meat and went to put it out there, and he was squirting the lighter fluid, and everything caught on fire. So it wasn't like they could keep the story, you know, together. They were waiting for that. Yeah, they were waiting for the husband, for the wife, actually, before they charged him with anything. They were waiting for her to come out of the coma, and she did, and she told the exact same story. Exact same story. And she said that her face is full of skin grafts. So none of the skin on her face is its original facial skin. The entire face is of her, the rest of her body. Oh my goodness gracious. And, you know, this has been some journey for her, because she had to go to the rehab center for a month. And, oh, my gosh. Okay, so while she was at the rehab center, they say she got a terrible infection in her scalp. She said she couldn't reach her scalp to scratch it. So she started using, like, different items to scratch her scalp, and it became infected. And oh my goodness gracious, that became an issue. She had to get surgery on her eyes, and she said that while she was in a coma, her right eye turned the opposite way, and she had to go through surgery on her eyes to get that taken care of. And she says she's got like 15 to 20 more surgeries to go. So she's really, she's a trooper. She's a trooper. And, you know, I tell you, it, you know, we complain about the things we go through in life. Really, this is, you know, something to endure. She says she spends so much time, like, putting makeup on and trying to, you know, get herself pretty. And, you know, can you imagine? You're just blessed to be alive. just blessed to be alive. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot. You're just really, really blessed to be alive, you know, to, like I told you last week, I said, listen, I know about this skin graft, and trust me, I have nothing in comparison to the woman we spoke about last week with the acid that was thrown in the face, or this particular woman who has had to undergo so many surgeries. You know, it's to just get up every morning and to just have the incentive to live. It's a lot to give God thanks for. And, you know, for those of us who whine and cry and, oh, woe is me and this ain't right and that ain't right, these people got real problems. You know, so when we talk about getting up and shaking, you know, shaking the Monday morning blues, yeah, you really need to think about, you know, what people are going through. And, yes, I understand that, you know, it's relative. You know, everything that you go through in life is relative. It's relative to who you are and what you've been through and, you know, what happened before then and how, you know, you need to go forward and what you have to look forward to when you continue to live. But still, there's so much to give God thanks for. And the last little thing I want to talk about before we get into our, you know, topic, our relationship topic today. You know, they interviewed some nurses who worked in hospice, and they asked these women, or these nurses, men and women, I'm sorry, they said 5 regrets that people confess to, off the top 4 requests that people had and what they thought about, the regrets that they had. You know, that was the question. 4 regrets that people had before they died. And guess what? The first thing, the number one thing on the list was people really regretted not appreciating their health. Yes, can you imagine that? Yes. They did not appreciate their health. They really wished they had taken better care of themselves. Yeah. So pay attention. Pay attention. Again, there's only one life to live. There's only one life to live here. Okay, we're not talking about overall. There's only one life to live here. You don't get a chance, you know, to do this over again. For those who are smoking, you know, COPD comes back to haunt you. Yes, you do not have to be a chain smoker. You don't have to be, you know, one who smokes like 9 packs a day. No, as mild, it depends on your body. You know, think about that drinking. And, you know, not going to the doctor. You know, for those who are afraid to go to the doctor, you know, I like to go to the doctor. Yes, take care of your health, okay? The second thing that was on the list, not appreciate being alive and those little things in life. Yes, not appreciating the little things in life such as being alive. You know, all the things that God allows us to have, all the things that God allows us to do, that was number 2 on the list. Number 3, how about some people who say, oh, rest when I'm dead? Well, that was number 3, working their life away. All they did was work, work, work. Yep, that was number 3. On the list, and I'm giving it to you in the order. When they got finished compiling the list of the top 4 things from these nurses, these were the top 4 things people said. Yes, working their way through life, not taking time to vacation and really enjoy life. You know, they got to work. I got to build my grind. Yep. Number four, not spending more time with family. Yep. Let me tell you something. Laying on that deathbed, I told you all, I think it was last week or the week before, we had this huge, huge issue with my mother, Thanksgiving of 21. Yeah, for some silly reason, she did not want to come out and spend time with us for Thanksgiving. Oh, y'all go ahead. You know, I'll be there next year. And I kept saying, stop saying that. You don't know if you got next year to be out here with us. Get on out of here. Get yourself together. Come, let me get you. We were all prepared. We had called the rehab and, you know, checked all the rules and everything for her to come on out for Thanksgiving. And she was ready to come out everybody, there's seven of us fussing, and January, 2 months, Thanksgiving was the 25th of November. She passed away the 25th of January, 2 months out from us fussing with her about coming out. And the last thing that people had on that list, they regret not spending more time with family. Stop assuming you got tomorrow. We don't know. So let me give you those things again. So, you know, maybe this is a wake-up call for you as we're shaking the Monday morning blues. Not appreciating their health and taking better, you know, care of themselves. Two, not appreciating being alive and those little things in life. Number three, grinding, working their way through life, working their life away. And number four, not spending more time with the family. All right? Please, you know, we only got one earthly life to live here. You know, when Jesus comes back, hell, he'll determine what kind of second life we'll have. But we know here on this earth, you can only do this thing one time. So let's get ourselves together, okay? Let's get to talking with our due time crew. And let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. We haven't said good morning to Pastor KL first in a long time. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor KL. We haven't been blessed with that good morning in a long time. Hello there. Giving God thanks for getting that hearty good morning. Oh, is that not a way to shake the Monday morning blues? Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning. We got a little bit of stuff to talk about this morning. And we talked about last week Friday, I believe, you and I. I don't think Brother Al was with us at that point. We talked about the young lady who mowed down the two little girls, 4 and 5 years old, in the yard when she decided she was going to get behind that wheel of the car. And at the time, we didn't know that she faced the judge and they only gave her $120 bond. And, of course, needless to say, they probably went to two next-door neighbors and got that $120. Well, they got her out, but they went and picked her back up. And now she's under no bond, no bail, because one of the little girls, and we knew that. We knew that at the time one of the little girls had passed away, but like I said, we didn't know the backstory. You know, what do you think about them letting her out on a $120 bond and then having to go back and pick her up to make her sit and stew in her decision and not let her walk this street freely while a little girl is in the grave and another little girl is in the hospital enduring injuries for her negligence and silliness?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, I know you said last week that some folks will say that she's too young and, you know, maybe give her another chance. But you know, had she not been out in the car at all, none of this would have happened. You know, you're not even supposed to be driving. You don't have a license. So had you not been in the car, this would not have happened. So I think, you know, you need to pay that punishment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And at the age of 18, Pastor KL, if we don't teach them now to get themselves together and make better decisions, and your decision-making ain't going to come to no tune of $120, they're never going to learn.
Listen, I can't jaywalk and get out for $120. You know, I can't do it. They're going to find something else to concoct to keep me in for a little while longer. They're going to go through my whole history. They're going to find out where I lived, how I lived, if I had a parking ticket. So for $120, that to me was ridiculous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to think you had to go back and pick her up. Yeah, we have to make sure we set these examples nice and early in these lives. Again, you know, two lives were, you know, adjusted. And not just two lives, but the lives of the families. And
right.
You're sitting back, Paul, hitting on $120.
Well, not only that, but they lucky that the family didn't hide her away after that. But the family had to know they were coming back.
Absolutely. And that's what I thought. I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, they could have sent her off to other family and other states and
mm-hmm.
all kind of things, you know, until, but you know what? I guess you're out on bond even at $120. You can't, you're going to have to come back to court. So I guess maybe they figure.
Yeah, but listen,
you know, she
at this point, listen, criminals don't mind losing $120. Now, if you're out on bond and you put up your house, that's a difference. But $120, they don't mind losing
that. It's true. It's true. It's very true. Well, I guess they took the chance and they lucky they went back and they found her. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
All righty. All right. Well, I want to go over this hospice, the nurses survey that they took who work in a hospice, and they thought about the four things, you know, that people said, you know, they regretted, those people who were on hospice, and they said they did not appreciate their health was number one, not appreciating the little things in life, number three, working their life away, and four, spending more time with family. Which one hits you now that you got your health, you're moving around? You know, you may not be at the pitch of health, but when you think about these people who are in hospice, they know they're dying. They're leaving here. And these are the four things they thought about. What comes to your mind of these four?
Well, I think two of those things is a combination. For me, it's working my life away. And when you work your life away, you can't spend enough time with the family. So that goes hand in hand.
Okay. Why do you think about that? Why do those things come to your mind?
Well, because of me, I'm a workaholic. I mean, even now I'm at work. You know what I mean? I'm just a workaholic, and that's just what I do. You know, and when I try to just stay home and relax, I can't. My mind is always on work, you know. And if it's not my natural job, it's other things, spiritual jobs. But I'm always in work mode. You know, that's just what I do.
Okay. All right.
And you know, one more thing, Pastor. I know what it's like to be poor. And I know what it's like to not have a job. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And sometimes when you've been down that road, you know, you know what it tastes like to eat mayonnaise sandwiches. You know what I mean? So in
okay.
your mind, psychologically, you got to keep on working so you don't get back to that place anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I don't know if this, you know, have this survey, you know, will make us rethink these things. And, you know, we're not eating mayonnaise sandwiches anymore by the grace of God. And,
amen.
You know, we may have to, you know, just give these things some thought, because like I said, these people are on their way out of here. And, you know, once you get to that point, it's no turning back unless God decides to touch you with a miracle. So we want to say thank you, Pastor KL, for joining us this morning. And
yes, ma'am.
We'll be back to converse. We got our main topic to talk about. All right, so listen, 347-285-7777. I want you to send in something. What comes to your mind when you hear the top four things that the people in hospice thought about the most? And again, that was they regretted not appreciating and taking better care of their health. Number two, appreciating being alive and the little things in life. Number three, working their life away. And four, not spending more time with the family. Okay. So come on, send in your top number one. Your top number one. Let's say good morning. Who was our next one in line? We got our girl Tamika. Let's say good morning to Tamika. Good morning.
Monday morning. These Monday mornings are coming really, really fast. I'm trying to figure out what happened to one of those days this weekend.
Man, tell me about it. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. And I want to talk about this Florida young lady, 18 years old. You know, you weren't a part of the conversation Friday, but this was part of our story on Friday. What do you think about this $120 bond, and now they had to go snatch her back up after the little girl passed away, and now she's sitting with no bail and no bond?
Well, I mean, you know, the I'm surprised about the leniency to begin with. You know, just the whole idea, you know, people have a tendency to just, you want to do whatever it is that you want to do. And, you know, there's no real repercussions, you know, like you said, $120. I mean, I could do that in my sleep, you know, not really have to work for it. You know, I work 2 days and I've already got $120, you know. Now, after, you know, the passing of a child, now you decide to make it an offense, you know. Let's just do it right the first time so that you won't have to do it. You know, I remember, you know, back in the days when, you know, any family member or, you know, any youth was doing anything bad, they would disappear. And you wouldn't see them until, you know, this new child or this new occurrence happened and, you know, or they've been incarcerated. You don't see them for 10 years, you know, because they were hidden away, you know, and if they got in trouble where they were, that was something else. But, you know, they could have very well, you know, sent her away to some place where you couldn't get access to her. You know, it's just amazing that, you know, they were able to still get a hold of her.
Absolutely. You know, because they will squander her away, and, you know, they don't mind going, you know, somebody else going to jail because they're going to protect that 18-year-old. So, yeah, I don't know, just not a wise move at all. So let's go to this survey. You know, the people in the hospice, of the top four that they gave, they're not appreciating and taking better care of their health, not appreciating being alive and those little things in life, working their life away, and spending more time with family. Which one gives you a jolt now that you're healthy and able to look around and make a move to change things?
I believe it's, I have two of them. One is neglecting your health, not really paying attention, you know. I remember when my mother, before she had cancer, when she just had diabetes, you know, there were a lot of things that I was telling her that she could do to kind of turn things around. You know, my mother had her numbers, her diabetes, she was 300 or more a day, you know, and she stayed there, you know, and I kept saying, Ma, you got to do something, you know, for your diabetes. Those numbers are way too high, you know, and diabetes, you know, it just friends to other things. You can have kidney issues, you know, cancer, you know, it links with other things. You got to catch it in the beginning. You know, when someone says you're possibly going to, you know, be a diabetic, like pre-diabetic, especially when you're pre-diabetes, that's when you need to make the moves, you know. And then it just seemed like it just happened so quickly, you know, she started to decline, you know. And I think that is so very important that you take care of your health when you're getting that warning, you know, when something is starting not to work right, then that's when you need to work on it, not, you know, when you're, you know, ailing, because at that point it's very, very hard to try and, you know, backtrack. You know, and then the other thing for me would be spending time with family. There's always going to come a time where you have to work and you have to take care of things, but, you know, making a true effort to spend time with family is really, really important. You know, my family declined and decreased quickly, very, very fast. So my family circle is now not as big as it was. And so, you know, oftentimes there are times when I say, you know, wow, I remember such and such and such. You know, I wish I could have been there a little bit more. You know, nothing that I can do about it now because the people that I want to spend the time with are no longer here.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. And we're grateful to God that we have you here with us this morning and sharing our Monday morning with us. And thanks for being on. We'll be back to have our relationship conversation shortly. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, everybody. How are you today, my love?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good today. I thank the Lord.
Amen. Happy to have you with us. So we're talking about this Florida young lady, 18 years old, who almost got away with murder, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this leniency of this $120?
Y'all know me. Who do she know? She only got $120. That was my first thought. I never heard of $120 for you to get out, that you, oh, you know, ran some babies over, you know, but I'm glad that they got her. They took her back. And my next thought was, who car was you driving that gave you keys?
Well, we hope that she stole it, opposed to, somebody giving her the keys, Pastor Charlene. We hope that, you know, but it's funny because they didn't mention theft. So that's a good question. It's funny because they did not mention theft. They didn't mention theft in last week's article, and they did not mention theft today in this article. So you're bringing up a good point. You're bringing up a good point because they would normally, remember, they always list the charges, and they sure didn't mention no theft
in the charges. And then would you have only gotten $120 if theft was included? So you know what? You're bringing up a good point. You're bringing up a very good point, Pastor Charlene. Wow. All right. Top four things that the hospice patients regretted. One, not appreciating their health and not taking better care of their health. Number two, not appreciating the little things in life. Number three, not working their way through life. And four, not spending more time with the family. What are we talking about for Pastor Charlene? What comes to your mind?
Well, taking care of yourself a lot of times, us being young, was doing things out there, running outside, no coat on, little bit of clothes on, you know, and it comes back as you get older. Now you got arthritis. Now you got this going on, that going on. So I thought about taking care of themselves. I thought about myself. I hate the dentist. But my brother-in-law had a bad toothache. He went to the hospital and almost died just from his teeth. So it made me say, oh, I need to go to the dentist. So on behalf of taking care of yourself, where you have not have passed away or you caught it on time, will make you think of being thankful for being alive. So if you don't work yourself to death, that's another way of health as well, so that you can spend time with your family.
Thank you, Pastor Sean.
Pastor Sean just gave us a face on the fear.
Okay, Pastor Charlene. Pastor Charlene, number one concern in hospices, not having said all the words she really wanted to say.
But God is me. I'm thinking of me. This is me. My health.
Oh, my
God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. We know, Pastor Charlene, that is you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene. What would we do without you? What would we do without you? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, remember, before this morning is over, please give Shantice a hit, 347-285-7777, and let her know the top one thing that now that you're up and alert and aware and thinking, you know, one of the things out of those four that, you know, those people didn't have a do-over. You know, that was it for them. What they thought about and what does it make you think about? You know, now that you do have your health and strength and you can possibly turn something around, okay? So let's see that number one thing and let's see what, you know, our listeners have to say. And then I'll let you know what Pastor Steph says as well. All right? Okay. Now, we're talking about relationships today as this is. Thank you. As this is Relationship Day, and one of the things that came up for the stories that I wanted to save, there was a young lady who said that she was just nursing hours old baby. She was in the hospital. She had just had the baby. She was nursing this baby. And the nurse asked her to, let me see, she said, to record the times that the baby had eaten. So she, her the baby's father, they were not married,
The baby's father was there. He was sleeping. So she reached over. She picked up his phone, and, you know, so she could take the time. And when she looked at the phone, oh, there was this beautiful wallpaper picture of the baby. But along with the wallpaper, splashed across the screen, you know how they leave the first line of your text messages up there? There was a text message from little Chicky Poo on the side that says, "Want to cuddle?" Whoa, baby, wanna cuddle. And there was another thing that was across the screen, and I missed it. I hate when I do that. But she said the baby was hours old, and here I am nursing our brand new baby, and you had been cheating with another woman. So as I look, I want to ask Pastor KL if she woke you up and said, what is this? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I don't see nothing. It's that glaucoma. I don't see nothing.
Ooh,
I'm on I'm on my way to hospice.
Oh my goodness. Oh, here it is. There was also a text that he had sent his friend that said, "Baby don't look like me." Oh my goodness. All right. Are you really on your way to hospice now?
Yeah, mama's baby, daddy's baby. I mean, if he had listen, you know, a lot of times, and in my former days, when you do your dirt, in order to get your dirt off of you, you got to throw dirt or shade somewhere else. So now I know I've been cheating, but now I got to accuse you of cheating so we can take the weight off of me.
Okay. Makes sense. They say that all the time. Okay. Tamika, you look over. All you need is a time. And want to cuddle is in the phone. And baby don't look like me. What happens? What do you say?
I'm trying to figure out all of the things that I can say without, you know, coming out, you know, in a different type of way, because, you know, I'm sitting here with your child, you know, and this is what I want to cuddle. So as soon as I say something to you, you already know, you know, and Pastor KL proved me right. You fit that, as they say back in the day, you fixing or you fitting a lie to me. You know, I don't know that they didn't say cuddle. It was a mix up on a word or all types of stuff. You know, so it makes me kind of question, you know, how long has this been going on? You know, and then on top of that, baby don't look like me. You know, realize that when babies, you know, come into this world, they change from time to time. You know, I remember my nephew. He looked like somebody else, you know, and as he got older, you know, he gradually came into himself and he looks like other family members, but originally he didn't, you know, and so there's going to be a lot of talking and it's not going to be kind. It really isn't. That's the best way that I can put that.
All righty.
righty. Pastor Charlene. What's going on? You reaching over.
Well,
you want to cuddle. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to ask the nurse to come get the baby. And then I'm going to hit him in the head with the phone. I'm going to hit him in the head with the phone. And then he's going to wake up. Well, he's already either nice way would be because he's already in the hospital, so he's going to be cuddling with them sheep. And the next day, or...
We're
going to have a conversation. Yeah. He got to go to another floor. Cuddling. And I just tell him the baby ain't his, so you already said it don't look like you, even though we know that children do change. So...
Okay. All righty. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Where's brother Al? Where's brother Al? Did we lose brother Al? Oh, no, here's brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. Like I always said, Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord said, for I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord a plan for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let the church say amen. Say amen again.
All right. All right. All right, brother Al.
Amen,
all right,
amen.
Brother Al. She's turned, she turned this phone around. And you see that Chickie didn't say, want to cuddle? What happened?
So I look at her, and I'm like, why are your friends texting you that? Your friends always playing around.
It's her friends.
Yeah, why are your friends playing around? They pranking you, baby. I don't know why they always playing like that.
Man, if that ain't a reason to get you a phone upside your head. All right, brother Al. Okay.
You sound real violent.
Right.
You sound like Pastor Charlotte. You sound like Pastor Charlotte.
Okay. Well, she says that she broke up with him. She said she broke up with him, and she said she could not get over that, and she was not having that relationship any longer. So that's how that ended up. And it got me to thinking, what are some of the other reasons why we break up? So I'm going to throw some stuff out to you, ladies and gentlemen, and see what you think. And these are some weird reasons why people have, you know, broken up with their partner. All right. One of the girls says, I did not like the fact that he kept calling me bro. Hey, bro. Tamika. Hey, bro. Is that tolerable?
Yeah, that's annoying. You know, is it possible that maybe somewhere in the back of your mind you don't want a woman? Because why would you call me girl? You know, that would make me wonder, you know, maybe you don't necessarily want a woman. Because obviously you're not even getting me in my gender, bro. So if you ask me, you know, that's, you know, some ulterior motive back there that you don't really want a woman. And I would, you know, help you try and find the first man that you can get to, because that's annoying. No, I wouldn't put myself, I don't need to subject myself to that foolishness. It's just stupid.
Okay. Come on, brother Al. You know, calling your bro. Would that be enough to, you translate that into something that the street term of for men or for women? You know what I'm trying to say. Is that something that you could tolerate or no?
Oh, man, that's hard. I mean, if I'm tired of it and I'm telling you, listen, that bothers me. Stop doing it. I guess it can get irritating enough for you not respecting me. I told you I don't like it. You keep doing it, so I think you can say, okay, you know what? You're not listening. You irritate me. You don't respect me. I'm out.
Okay. Come on, Pastor KL. The equivalent to constantly calling you bro or her bro. You get my point.
Yeah, I think at some point you don't see that person as your significant other. You see her or see him as one of the guys. You know what I mean? And we play video games together. We play basketball together. But there's no real connection. You know, I don't see no future with you. So, yeah, you're going to be broke. I don't think he's a sugarfoot. He just don't see you as, you know, one of somebody to be with.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. Pastor Charlotte. He keeps calling you bro.
Oh, it would get on my nerves, but I think that he's looking at it as a friend as well, not really in a relationship. And did he always say that? Do you say that to all the females? And if so, you knew that before you got there.
Okay, so you keeping them or you dumping them? You're so confusing this morning. You keeping them or you dumping them?
Start off by keeping them, and if it keeps going, I will have to dump them.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. All right. He was snacking on Cheetos while watching a movie, and I saw him wipe his fingers on my blanket. He wiped his cheese fingers on my blanket. I asked him if he would like me to get him a napkin, and when he said no, that was it. I asked him to leave. I ain't never seen him since. Come on, Brother Al.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy. I think we can work that out. You know, listen, I done saw you wipe your cheesy fingers on my blanket. I asked you for a napkin, you telling me no. So you want to use my blanket as a napkin. So you know what? Okay. You don't want to listen? I'm going to eat me some Cheetos, and I'm going to use your weave as a napkin as well. Let's see how you like that. I'm going to take your weave, wipe my hair, and take your wig and wipe my lips. Let's see how you like that, because I told you to use my blanket. You're not listening.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo. All right, come on, Pastor KL. Those Cheetos on the blanket, and when I asked you, you want a napkin, you said, nah, that's all right.
I mean, I already used the blanket. You about to wash it anyway. What am I gonna use some napkins up for? I'm just saying, you know, if you saw me make an attempt to use the blanket, then I could understand. But you already saw me use the blanket. We gotta wash it. Why am I gonna waste a whole roll of tissue, you know, when I'm already started? I think you're a little bougie. It's just a blanket. You bougie.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Come on, Tamika, what's going on?
So now it makes me think, what are the little nasty habits you have that I don't know anything about? When I look and I see side eye and you decide that it's okay to take your nasty Cheetos fingers and put it on my blanket, so now everything about my blanket is cheesy. It makes me wonder, what other habits that you have that might be nasty? I remember one situation. I was dating this gentleman, and he wanted me to watch TV, and I was like, okay, fine. You know, I went to go watch television, and I dropped something underneath the chair. And when I went to look underneath the chair, it wasn't like dust bunnies. It was like the whole up underneath the chair was gray with dirt and dust and papers, and I was just like, oh my God, you know. And needless to say, that relationship didn't last long, because I'm like, okay, you could move the chair and vacuum. When I start seeing little nasty habits, then that makes me, oh no. Then I start wondering, what else is it? I'm not eating your food. I'm not, no. no. I'm done. It's over.
All right, fellas, okay, don't beware. Now.
Tamika's bougie. Fellas, beware. Tamika's bougie.
Woo! Pastor Sharlin, what's going on? Them Cheetos.
He's out because my thing is, why are you using my blanket? Use your shirt. You're unclean.
Oh, no. She said, use your shirt. All righty. All righty. Okie dokie now. I broke up with this guy because he would say, sorry, in a baby voice. He would text me that, too. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. Come on, Pastor Sharlin. Sorry.
No, he got to go, too. Because you want that baby talk. Uh-uh. I need a man, not a little baby. Got to go.
All righty. Come on, Brother Al, what you got? All right. Pastor KL, sorry. And texting like that.
No, you got to go. That would just annoy me. You got to go. That would make me believe that you want another baby, and that ain't going to happen. You know, you didn't practice. No. That got to go. Not here.
All right. Tamika.
We're sorry. The number you have reached has been temporarily disconnected. This is a recording.
All right now. Okay. I ended the relationship with a guy because we went out and I saw his butt crack when he bent over to grab his wallet he had dropped. He had to go. Is Brother Al with us? All right. Pastor KL, butt crack out.
I mean, was something coming out of the crack? I mean, no. You know, sometimes we have a little.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just saying, just because of, I mean, sometimes, you know, the crack comes out, you know, every now and then. If your belt ain't tightened, that ain't no reason. I mean, but now if, you know, you found tissue or something, then we got problems.
Okay, I don't think we're ever going to find that question out. Oh, that answer out. All righty now. Tamika, what you got?
Well, I'm under the impression that he's a plumber, you know, and if he's a plumber, I guess it's not so bad.
Ooh-wee. Come on, Pastor Sharlin.
I would just tell him, did you pull up your pants and what's the matter with your belt? If you don't have one, well, we're going to leave here and let's go buy one because you need a belt.
Okay. Nice and simple. All right. Well, it wasn't so bad. All right. Let's see. Okay. I was in middle school. And he was in high school. And I broke up with him because he could not stop looking at Shrek. And I was so embarrassed. And no, he had to go. Come on, Pastor Sharlin. He looking at cartoons. What's going on?
I love Shrek. Watch it now. So I keep him. We'll watch it together.
Okay, but he's a keeper. Brother Al, are you with us? All right, Tamika, he won't stop watching those cartoons.
Well, I'm a bit, as old as I am, I love a good cartoon every now and then. And there's nothing wrong with watching it from time to time. you know, just have some variety, you know. If it's like, you know, every time I come over with Watson Shrek, it could present a problem. But, you know, I believe that if from time to time we watch it together, it shouldn't be that much of a problem until it becomes overload. You want to watch Shrek again, you know, as long as it's just, you know, periodically and we, you know, we can negotiate on something else, then I'm fine with it.
Okay. All right, Pastor KL. Cartoons all the time.
Well, I mean, I think we're missing the bigger picture. First of all, if I'm in high school and you're in middle school, you're already a cartoon to me. That's why we got together, because I need to be dealing with children. You know, so, and maybe you remind me of Fiona. You know,
no,
I mean, if I'm in high school and you in middle school, I can't deal with people my age, so I need to watch cartoons with you.
Okay.
Pastor Steph, I'm here. Sorry, Pastor Steph, I had to take care of something. Oh, yeah. So,
all righty.
The cartoons,
okay.
Man.
Yes.
They're okay, so you love the cartoons so much, that means you're not paying me attention. So therefore, I got to go to the costume shop and pick up a costume of your favorite cartoon to get your attention.
Wow, Brother Al. Are we going back to being petty? Are we going back to petty conversation?
No.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work with you. I'm trying to work with you, so I'm going to go get the coffee. See?
All right. Okay, I got one for you all. He would kiss his whole family on the lips. Oh, I couldn't take it. I was always told to blow kisses or kiss on the forehead. I went home wearing his mother's lipstick. That ended it for me. Come on, Pastor Charlene.
Why we got to kiss all the time? I'm not wearing her lipstick on my forehead. I think that I would talk to him about it, and then if he didn't do anything about it, then it would be over.
Okay. Okay. Come on, Tamika, what you got?
I think that's one of those things that can be talked about, you know. My family is very, very open, and there's a multiplicity of things that you might see and you might question, because that's just how we are. So, you know, if it offends you, you know, I would work on it, because I'm taking it personally, because, you know, our family is just like that, you know. But if it offends you, then, you know, I'd work on it. But I don't think it should be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Al, the whole family kissed everybody on the lips.
Okay, that's the situation now. Okay? You didn't went too far, Tony. Have you ever? You hear Tamika saying all that craziness all you want. You've gone too far. Because have you ever heard of the old school disease mono? We're not doing all the kissing everybody on the lips. Now, you want to kiss your mama? Okay, cool. But you go around kissing brothers, sisters, other, I ain't going to be able to do it.
Okay. Pastor KL. They kiss everybody on the family.
No, we're not doing the kissing cousins. We're just not doing it. We're not, because at some point, I'm not gonna know whether this is really your cousin or not. You know, I'm going to be staring, I'm going to be looking. You know, Tamika said they do some weird things. I want to see if the mouth is open, the mouth is closed. I'm going to be examining too much stuff. You know, we're not kissing everybody.
All right. I'm going to give you a round. And let me, you know, tell us the weirdest reason why you broke up with somebody. Let's start with you, Brother Al.
Okay, the weirdest thing, let me think real quick. Weirdest thing, I broke up with somebody. Okay. Your feet look like hands. How many times I told you to cut them toenails? How many times have I told you to cut and file those toenails? You don't want to listen to me. You want to wear sandals. You want to wear open-toed shoes. And the pinky toe is bigger than the big toe.
No, we can't do this. You're not listening. So I got to holler at you later.
Woo, all right. Pastor Charlene, the weirdest thing you ever broke up with somebody over?
Because I didn't know that he was cross-eyed. One eye was always on the middle.
Wait. How did you meet him? You on the phone or something?
I had met him actually through somebody, but you know, by you wearing glasses, I didn't notice that eye moves a little bit until I'm looking you directly into your face. You know, because it always been like, you know, it's like a wandering eye. I think that's what they call it, like a wandering eye. And it shifts
over. Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah. I was, no, not with me. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Come on, Pastor KL. What was the craziest reason you dumped somebody? Why?
Well, believe it or not, I dumped somebody because you had the wrong name. I used to, because I was such a cheater, I used to date women with the same name. I had like 3 or 4 Cynthia. And then I keep on messing up because now you're Angel, and I keep calling you Cynthia, and we arguing over that. So, yeah, it was over. I couldn't keep up with the lie no more.
Wow. All right. Oh, Tamika, you got the final word today. What was one of the reasons why you dumped somebody, and it was a crazy reason?
We want to, first of all, thank, you know, Pastor KL for his 3 cents.
Oh, goodness gracious.
At any rate, for me, it was, you know, I was dating this guy, and we were doing real good. And he went to go play basketball and took his shirt off, and I happened to see, like, back here, and we're not talking like a little back here, like he had, like, you could braid his hair from the top of his neck down to the I was just like, you know, to this day I don't even think that he knows why. I was just like, it's over. I couldn't put the words together except explain. I was just like, it's over, and I left, and that was pretty much the end of that.
Wow. Oh, the Due Time Crew always comes through. Thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Everyone else has a
blessed day. All right. Thank you. Oh, we're at the top of the morning on a Monday, and it's time for our switch tip with Shantice. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the street to our godly seat. And our switch tip 96 is flush it all out. When you think about flushing it out, you're thinking about cleansing yourself, whether it's your mind and or your body, whatever, mainly your mind and or your body. I pulled up the definition of cleanse. I came across 2. First definition is to make something thoroughly clean. Second definition, the process or period of time during which a person attempts to rid the body of substances regarded as toxic or unhealthy, typically by consuming only water of a liquid. So the second definition is mainly talking about your body, you know, physically, if you want to cleanse yourself from, you know, toxic food that you're eating. And it also brings to mind, you know, people who go into detox as far as ridding their bodies of the illegal drugs and alcohol. So when we're talking about flushing it all out, of course, last week, Sunday night on the Word Prayer Project, we prayed about discipline. Last night, we prayed about patience. And when you're talking about cleansing yourself, those are 2 very important components that you need. You first need the discipline, the willingness. After God already gives you the ability, the willingness to actually take the step forward to cleanse yourself. And a lot of times you may not have the process down pat. You may not know exactly how to go about it. But if you go to God in prayer and you spend the time to talk to him, he's going to give you the process. And for the past couple of weeks, there's been this desire for me to abstain from doing certain things. I just felt like I had to really detox, you know. One of our switch tips was detox from negativity, and I'm feeling like I have to go even deeper than that, and that means having discipline to abstain from even certain, you know, indulging in certain foods and even watching TV. A couple of days last week, I was like, you know what? Watching TV is a privilege. Watching TV is a reward. Right now, I just need to focus a lot more, God, on you and what's going on with me, what's still dysfunctional within me. And that comes with also a lot of patience because, you know, we live in an era where everything is microwavable. You know, you wake up today and you are what you say you are. You want to make certain moves because this is what you want to do. You don't want to, a lot of people don't want to have to work for anything. And it's like, you really have to make sure we get ourselves out of that frame of mind. So when you're talking about ridding your body of things that are regarded as toxic, that also calls for you to be honest with God and with yourself. Because, you know, when you talk about what's the thing called, like Lent, when everyone decides what they want to give up, you know, and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to give up chocolate. And then the next person say, I'm going to give up TV. And then when you really ask them, it's like, can you really do without TV? Oh, yeah, I don't watch TV that much. So it's like you're deciding to give up on things that is not hard for you to abstain from. So where's the real challenge? So are you really cleaning yourself and washing away the things that you really need to wash away? No, you're doing what's convenient, and that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to really get down to the nitty-gritty. So if God is putting it on your heart, and don't try to ignore it because it's going to stay there until you do something about it, to really flush certain things out of you, it calls for a lot of discipline and a lot of patience. And I came across 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 in the Message version, which reads, "With promises like this to pull us on, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit in holy temples for the worship of God." And one of the reasons why I really like this version is the part that says, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us. And again, that calls to be honest with God and with yourself. You know the people, places, and things, including yourself, that helps to distract you from keeping a lot of unhealthy things around you, the things that distract you that keep a lot of unhealthy food around you, and you watching certain things. You know, I've gotten to the point where in my prayers I've even asked God to help me screen the things that I watch that are secular, you know, the TV shows and the movies. And ever since the pandemic started, he got rid of reality shows for me. I have not watched a reality show since March of 2020, and I see the difference that has taken place in my thoughts, the different things that, the different scenarios that play in my head, that were playing in my head, I'm sorry, when I was watching reality shows, that I don't have those scenarios going on in my mind anymore. And, you know, had you asked me back then, it's like, oh, no, that doesn't faze me. You know, watching reality shows don't have any type of effect on me. Well, God knew otherwise, and he made the switch for me. I didn't even realize it until one day I went to go watch something. I was on Facebook scrolling, and something came up, and I was like, oh, snap, there's a new season of this. And I said, well, I don't even have a desire to watch this. And I tried to watch another one that I used to watch. And I just got so turned off within, like, the first 10 minutes of the show. I just changed the channel, and it was like, okay, I really don't have a desire to even watch these. He knew that somehow it was defiling my mind and distracting me from what I really needed to focus on. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16, Message version, reads, "So roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear, be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil," there goes that word again, "doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, you do now. As obedient children, let yourself be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. So we are supposed to be walking in the footsteps of Jesus, who walked in the footsteps of God. So we are supposed to be imitating ourselves behind God and Jesus. I got a text last night from one of my good friends who said that she pretty much wanted to, she didn't know for how long, but wanted to get on this habit of just ridding herself of certain things that was distracting her. And in doing so, she was hoping that it would bring her closer to God and everything. And at first, I was like a little hesitant, like, okay, you think you're doing this for you. Why would I be doing this with you? But then I was like, wait, God, I've been talking to you, and you've been talking to me about abstaining from certain things so that I can clear my mind, so that I can now refocus, so that I can now not only be put back on track with you the way I need to be, but to stay there. Because here's one thing to get back on track for like a good 20 minutes. But then when you need to stay on track for the whole day, that's a whole other type of discipline and patience that you need to have with yourself and with God. So we really need to make sure that when God puts it on your heart, because, again, we do not desire anything good. We do not desire the things of God on our own. This is what he puts on our heart to do. And we now have the option to either respond with a yes or with a you're right. And I've been saying you're right for, you know, the longest. And I see how it has been keeping me on this downward spiral on some level in some way. And to be honest with y'all, I'm kind of tired of it. So now you keep putting this on my heart and on my mind, guys. You had somebody text me last night that this is something that they wanted to do, but they wanted to know what I'd be willing to do with them. And instead of thinking of, well, how would that, well, you know, that's for you, it couldn't benefit me. No, it could very well benefit. And I wouldn't be doing it by myself, which a lot of times you think you have to do these things by yourself. And then God says, no, I'm going to send you the help. So we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision and making a switch of keeping ourselves around people, places, and things, including ourselves, that help to distract us and to help us to stay evil and make sure that we're following his lead and flushing it all out. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shanti. What's the title of your switch tip?
Flush It All Out.
All righty. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Our benediction. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. That's 1 Timothy 6:15, 16. So we got flush it all out. And I thought about our conversation about, you know, when we're laying on our deathbed, you know, what are we thinking about? It's pretty much, I mean, that pretty much sums it up, to be honest with you. And it's interesting because it made me think of the last few hours that I spent and was talking to my mom, and she couldn't talk back, but the nurse reminded, you know, well, I went in there to talk, actually, and the nurse said, you know, I want you to talk to her because she can hear you. And that's one of the things I was, like, talking to her and thinking, like, what are you thinking now? You know, do you think about, you know, that you didn't take care of yourself, or did you think about the fact that you, you know, didn't spend enough time with your family, or, you know, flush it all out. Flush it all out. Are we willing to flush out and flush away the things that are not good for us now that we have the time? So I didn't, you know, again, the switch tip kind of ties in to something we've talked about today. You know, we talked about, you know, not appreciating your health. And, you know, we've been talking about this health thing on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph for a minute. you know, where, you know, I've had a few people actually tell me that to them, when I give those lists, that it's an actual segment to them. You know, they're like, I like that. That has now exceeded, you know, and the other things that I liked, and it has become my favorite. And, you know, it's because it's a reminder that, you know, we can, you know, how we can take care of our health. You know, our bodies are natural healers. And a lot of times we drive our bodies to the point of not being able to heal itself, and we need some outside source medications and all of this kind of stuff to actually get us on the right track. And are we willing to flush out the things that we're doing that we're not, that's causing us not to take care of our health? Like Shanti said, you know, this the mental health or the emotional health that comes along with watching these toxic things on TV. You know, we don't realize how toxic, you know, this these housewives of, and, you know, all of this growing up this, and you know, all, we don't realize how toxic these things are that what we ingest, our eye gate, our ear gate. We're not paying attention, and we're not taking care of ourselves, not at all. You know, when we can't take the appreciation, we don't put enough appreciation into life. And the little things that God gives us, the time that we have. I remember the time we have to vacation, and when, you know, God gave the retreat concept to, you know, the people in the congregation, how hard it was to get people to take time off. How, and this is young people. Oh, I got to work, and, oh, I can't take the time off. And I'm like, but you get the time. Take the time. And I always had to hear excuses. Oh, and I said, you don't understand that God is, you know, this is what he's giving us. You know, take the time, those little things. You have to seize the opportunity to take the time for those little things. And that walks us right into that working our way, you know, through life. The same like Pastor Kale said, I'm a workaholic. You know, and the people that tell you, I'll rest when I'm dead. And all of this kind of stuff. You know, we have to take the time to take time off. You know, there's a lot to be said for just having time away from the chaos and all of the busyness. And, you know, it eats away at us from the inside out. You know, we don't look as beat up as we are. But on the inside, we're falling apart. And we don't even understand what's happening to us. But God has given us an opportunity now to pay attention. You know, is this the first time thought about, you know, hey, what happens to me the day I should be on that bed? And I tell you, the whole 5 hours I spent with her, that's all I kept thinking. Like, if you could talk to me right now, what would you be telling me? Because I know you would be telling me, because I remember whenever she would go for surgery, she would call me and she'd be like, Steph, you know, I need you to pray for me because I'm scared. And, you know, when you go in, you don't look scared. Nope, I ain't scared, because whatever I done did. Whatever I haven't done, I haven't done. So God going to deal with it. Once I close my eyes and I go under that anesthesia, ain't nothing I could do. There's nothing I could do to turn any of it around. So whether it's spending time with my family, I'm going to be there thinking about, you know, when they tell you to count backwards from 10 to 1 and you don't get the 5, you know, am I thinking about this here? Am I thinking about, oh, I wish I had taken better care of myself, or I wish I had not worked so much? It's too late. When you're on that hospice bed, it's too late. Most times God's not turning that around. You're pretty much on your way out of here. There's nothing you can do to change it. It's time to flush all of that toxicity out of our lives. Stop. Hold on right now to what God is giving us. Don't trash it. Don't flush the good things. Don't throw away all of the blessings. You know, this time we spend laughing 2 hours every morning, Do you realize what a blessing that is? Your parents didn't have this opportunity. But you now have an opportunity to teach your children what it is to enjoy God. That actually, you know, church could actually be fun. And that's what we've kind of done here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. We've kind of reshaped what it is to spend time with God. What is that really like? You know, because all we ever were taught about was go to church and sing a couple of hymns, throw some money up in the collection plate, pray, tarry, rock back and forth, you know, wait for the Holy Ghost to come on down and come up in the room. And, you know, now we're going to be throwing oil all over the place. We have changed the face of what it looks like to serve God. There's some pleasure in doing this thing here. There's some joy. We can actually laugh. We can actually show people how much fun and how much joy it is to just be able to smile every morning as we think about how good it is to serve the Lord, how we have just reshaped what serving the Lord is. Oh, I give God thanks that he has given me an opportunity each and every day to get up and serve him. When we're trying to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to serve him more and how we're going to turn this thing up, he's already done the job because he's already said, all right, you're going to get up every morning for 2 hours and you're going to serve me. You're going to pour everything you got into this 2 hours. And you're going to show people who I am, what I am, and how it is to give your life to me. And it's not sour and burdensome. So come on, let's flush all of the stuff that we have ever learned and let's turn it around and show the world what God is and learn to appreciate life for what it truly is. Because we don't know how much time we got on this earth. Ooh. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us and helping smooth our morning along. And we pray that you will not just be a hearer, but you will be a doer of God's word. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where's Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day? I don't know. If God spares our life, I love you.